All right. Well, thank you so much for joining Zero to Strong. I'm so excited to have my next guest here, retired Colonel Carla Bass, who has such an amazing and impressive 30-year history with the United States Air Force. And she's spent time working with generals, ambassadors, congressional delegates, and foreign dignitaries, and one of the few women of her generation who reached the rank of colonel. So she's an entrepreneur and also the author of a book called Right to Influence. And now it's in its second edition and also the winner of 8 national level awards. So if you could please welcome Carla Strong. I'm sorry, Carla Bass to Zero to Strong. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Roberta. Thank you so much for the opportunity to connect with your audience.
Oh, yes. We are so happy and honored for you to be here. So let's get started with this. Tell us a little bit about your book, Right to Influence. Such a great book.
The reason I wrote it is to help people. I have two battle cries. The first is that powerful writing changes lives, because it does, and we'll talk about that. And the second is that powerful writing is the lifeblood for successful organizations. So what influence does, it teaches you how to make every single word count and how to leverage every second of the reader's time to your advantage. So there's four parts to it. The first part talks about how you strategize your message. The second part talks about how you hone it down to a fine technique so it's hard hitting and very impactful. The third part applies all of that knowledge to daily products like resumes, elevator speeches, even college application essays. So the third part is practical applications. And then it contains 200 exercises. So you can practice what you've been learning through the book and then check the answers. And it's not a grammar book. It's not stuffy. I talk in terms of Rumpelstiltskin and Goldilocks and Mary Poppins and Garden Gate. So, and hard boiled eggs. So it's a fun read. And it distills everything that I've learned over 40 years into one easy to go through book so you can change your life.
Wow, that is great. 200 exercises, I love that. So it's very impactful for us, that's for sure. It's so great. So tell us, how did you come to join the Air Force? 30 years in the Air Force and a colonel at that is so impressive.
Well, yeah, some people would say I had a fixation complex. I actually decided when I was in seventh grade, okay, so how old are you when you're in seventh grade, is when I chose not only the Air Force, but Air Force intelligence in particular. Now, to take the audience back, this is when the war was ongoing. My father was a colonel in Air Force intelligence, and my mother was constantly wagging her finger at me saying, don't ask your father any questions because he can't tell you. And then one day they installed a secure telephone in my family room and that did it. I thought, by God, if I can't ask him any questions, if he can't tell me, I'll just join and find out for myself. And that's exactly what I did. So I waited all those years, go all the way through college, boyfriends, don't care about it. I'm going into Air Force intelligence. And so that's how I came to do it.
That is so great. So kind of like trying to figure out what is dad doing, right? That's so good. That is amazing. So I'm sure your mother was like, wow. Yeah. Right. So can you describe your working environment at your first assignment? What was the environment like for you?
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned I was one of the few women in my generation to make the rank of colonel, it was a completely different environment from what young women experience now. My very first day, my first assignment was Germany. So, and remember, I've been waiting for this day since seventh grade. I can't tell you how thrilled I was to arrive at my very first assignment. The first time I met my boss, he said, Carla, we did not want a second lieutenant. We fought having you here. We don't want you here. That was my opening introduction to my immediate supervisor. His boss, who was a full colonel, said, Carla, and they were dead serious. They said, Carla, why don't you just go home and have babies and raise a family? Wow. So that was the environment. There were so few women. Now, I need to immediately give the other side of that coin. That wasn't only typical of the Air Force. That was the work environment, period. Military, I think civilian too. We were breaking the glass ceilings. What I loved about the Air Force, and I would do it again in a heartbeat if I could, is you were judged fairly. If you demonstrated the skills, you were promoted and you were given new opportunities appropriate to your skill level. So, you know, as long as there's a fair playing field and I can compete equally with the guys, I was okay with that. That's what the working environment was like. It was challenging.
So how did you succeed so well? Because it was a challenging environment. How did you able to succeed so well?
Well, five things I want to pass on. First of all, when my father commissioned me, he gave me, Second Lieutenant Carla Bass, he gave me three pieces of advice that I follow to this day and I pass on as often as I can. The first was focused on your job. In other words, put on the blinkers, don't get caught in office politics, do your job. The second from my father was always take care of your people and they'll take care of you. So people, you've got to take care of your folks. And the third was, and I love this one, keep your sense of humor. And I've modified that a little bit. I say the more warped your sense of humor is, the better. So the first thing that enabled me to succeed were my father's tips. The second, I doff my hat to my mother. She told me the entire time I was growing up, there's no such word as can't. Every time the word can't would come out of my mouth, there's no such word as can't. Way to do this, get off your butt and do it. No such word as can't. So that became instilled. I integrated that into who I am. And that's a true statement. So don't be intimidated. No such word as can't. The third thing that was a driver for me is my own passion. If you're able to find an occupation that coincides with whatever your passion may be, you are so very lucky. I grew up in a patriotic family. I love this country. I still do. And so, you know, I could have so many bosses saying, Carla, go home. And the answer is baloney. I'm Irish. I love the country. I'm here. I'm doing my job. So follow your passion and stay with it. Another thing that helped me succeed is, this applies to everybody today too. I thought of myself not as a woman officer, but as an officer who happened to be a woman. There's a big, big difference there. How you approach your job. If you approach it as a woman doing the job, then you are putting yourself at odds with all the guys. If you approach it as a peer, on the same level as they, as another professional who, oh, by the way, happens to have a different gene pool, that's how I did it. And the last thing, which paralleled through all of my assignments, it was the ability to write. The ability to write is, I think, one of the main reasons that I succeeded so well in addition to everything else. That's the answer. And that's why I am now so passionate about what I'm doing now. I tell people, if you can learn to write, like I'm going to show you today, learn how to write. All you have to do is learn how to write this once, write like this way once. And it applies to so many different products. You learn how to write like I'm going to show you. It opens the door to so many opportunities. And so from my very first assignment, all the way until I retired, and to this day, I still work for the federal government. Ability to write, if you can spin a powerful tale, you're golden.
Wow, that's so great. Now, do you think your ability to write had advanced your career, gave you that opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. And it started back in Germany. So that Germany assignment was amazing. I was I was a junior officer, a baby officer. And my first assignment had me running a communications center. So I was in charge of 20 enlisted people running a 24-hour communication center, and there's a, you know, many other things that we did. But in that 2-year period, I was also a project officer for many things, and my little office and I did so many. We had so many groundbreaking projects that my senior enlisted my senior enlisted troop said, "Lieutenant," he said, "you need to write yourself up for a meritorious service medal." Now, to explain to your audience, the Meritorious Service Medal is a significant acknowledgement of what you've done. It is rarely, you could almost say never, given to a second lieutenant. It just didn't track a second lieutenant, especially in her first assignment, for a Meritorious Service Medal. But this tech sergeant was extremely wise, and I was the young officers are taught, listen to your enlisted troops. So the tech sergeant was tap dancing all over my head, write yourself up. And I did, and you know what? I got the medal. That never happens. And moreover, the medal was presented to me by the director of the National Security Agency, a 4-star admiral. So here comes a young lieutenant who did all this stuff being bullheaded, despite the fact that they said, go away, go have babies, came out because I knew how to spin the story of here's what I did and here's what the impact was, and I got the Meritorious Service Medal. Wow. And then my next job, continuing with how writing can get you a reputation and it can propel your career, my next job, I was selected to be one of the daily briefers to the director of the National Security Agency. So what that job entailed was going to work at midnight and reading all of the things that had transpired in my area of the world, and then writing the briefing and presenting the briefing the next morning to, just think about it, the director of the National Security Agency. That's heady stuff. There's also zero room for error. Every word has to count, precision. So if there's ever a time that you had to be on your game all the time, it was that job.
Wow, I bet.
It just fascinating stuff. And then from there, I became a budget officer. You have to defend budgets. You've got your program competing against other programs for limited money. So everything that I've done, you have to be able to make your case, explain what the impacts are, and explain why you need to be selected, whether it's you or your program or the policy that you're supporting, but you have to be able to make a compelling case. And that's why writing and the ability to do that is so important.
Wow, that is so amazing. I love that. That is such a great story that gives you a lot of power. Your writing does. That's so great.
And it's all true.
Yeah, that is so amazing. So what advice can you give young women to advance in their chosen fields? Do you have any advice for them?
Okay, the first thing, and this is the most important, is you have to become a subject matter expert. Just like my father told me, do your job. You have to become an expert. Know your stuff. That's the first thing. The second is you have to make your name synonymous with quality. Whatever it is that you put out, whatever that product may be, it needs to be perfect. It needs to be credible. It needs to be strong. So what you're trying to do, what your aim is if your boss receives a product from you and your boss responds, well, if Jane submitted this, I don't even have to read it because I know it's going to be good. That's what you're striving to do. So you have to make your name synonymous with quality. Now, I've worked with colleagues who would would submit a first draft up the chain. They would turn in a first draft and they would expect their bosses to correct all the errors. Okay, good enough to get by ain't gonna get you promoted. Okay, so the next thing is speak up in meetings. If you are that subject matter expert and you're in a room and you know something that's relevant to the conversation, don't be shy, don't be hesitant, stand up and make your points. Following that is, if this is like a working level meeting and there's a spot at the table, sit at the table. Don't take one of the wall, the chairs along the wall. Don't be a wallflower. It's, and you know, I was there once upon a time. I was hard to believe. I was demure and bashful back in the day, but I would prefer back then to sit on the wall. But I had a lieutenant colonel. This is when I was a baby captain, who said, nope, sit at the table. Okay. Or when it was time for me to give a briefing, God, I'd rather die than give a briefing. He helped me. He would give me he helped me understand material. And then in a private conference room, he and I would practice it verbally, you know, over and over and over again. He would critique it until I was completely comfortable. And then I was able, when it was really showtime, to get up and give the subject matter type briefing to all of these more senior level people. But the point is, stake out your position on the issue and don't be afraid to speak to it. The next tip, this is really important too, is volunteer for extra projects. That does several things. First of all, it demonstrates initiative. Second, it gets your name out there, it gets your recognition. Three, it starts building a reputation for, oh, she's a go-getter. And fourth, if you're able to pick up a leadership position, it gives you a chance to learn personal interaction skills and develop your own leadership techniques. So volunteering for things is really critical. If you happen to be a supervisor, this is the next tip, is submit your people for awards, because that shows that you're taking care of your people. And segueing off of that and going back to my meritorious service medal story, if you have a good relationship with your boss and your boss acknowledges that you are just a superb worker, do not be afraid to ask the boss, say, sir, there is this award coming up. Is it okay if I draft something on myself to provide to you? Okay, mm-hmm. Now you have to get his permission to do it, but you're actually helping him out, because presuming he's a good leader, he needs to take care of you, but he's also very busy. So you are helping him help you. And a lot of people are just, it doesn't even occur to them that they might be able to ask the boss for permission to draft something up on themselves. So I spike that idea as an opportunity not to be missed. And then put yourself in the boss's spot and help him or her out. So for example, if the boss is going for a meeting, if you were the boss going into this particular meeting, what would you need? Would you need a copy of the meeting minutes? Would you need a copy of what transpired in the previous meeting? How about a list of the people who are attending? Perhaps biographies, you know, the CVs of the people who will be attending. What is it that the boss might need? Don't wait for him or her to ask you. Take the initiative, lean forward, and provide it to them. That's another way to get yourself recognized and appreciated. And then one other thing is shoot the odds. Whenever people say it can't be done or don't worry about that, that the odds, you know, probably isn't going to happen, ignore that. I've got two examples for you. The first was when I was a captain coming up for promotion to major, like in a year or two. I asked my career advisor, I said, what assignment do I need that's going to give me the possibility of being considered for an early promotion? Give me the toughest job you've got because I'm hungry. And the response was, this is all telephonic. He kind of telephonically patted me on the head and said, there, don't worry about it. You'll get promoted when the time is right, you know, along with everybody else. Well, he was preaching mediocrity. I'm out there on the leading edge. I'm hungry. Don't preach to me mediocrity. So don't settle for mediocrity. If there's something that you want and you're hungry, go get it.
Wow, that's so good.
And the other one, this is a long story. I just have to make it really, really, really short. When I was a colonel now, I was in charge of 2,800 people. I'd gone back to National Security Agency. It was our Air Force birthday ball. When I arrived there, the only, remember, 2,800 people, that's a lot of people, yes, only 240, and that's including wives, had signed up for this birthday ball. That number stunk. It was horrible. It was embarrassing. So, but I didn't arrive in time to affect that particular event. But as soon as it was over, I swore, I told the whole unit, by God, next year, we're going to have a birthday ball where there are people on a waiting list to get into this thing. You know, I needed to reinfuse Air Force esprit de corps with those people. And so how do I do that? I needed to get a keynote speaker that would just be a magnetic draw. So I invited the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which, to explain that to your audience, that's the number one person in the entire Air Force military, to be the speaker at my little tiny Air Force birthday ball. Okay, that's shooting for the friggin' stars. And everyone's saying, he won't come, he won't come. Well, here's what I did. Again, the ability to write. In one very short paragraph, I explained to him what I was trying to do. Sir, I am trying to reinfuse Air Force spirit in my people up here at NSA. And then I wrapped that letter in camouflage netting, and I crammed a little stick with a little American flag that my second grade daughter had made for me. And that package, the camouflage wrapped letter, was delivered to General Shelton. And you know what? He came.
Wow.
I had 600 people, which was the maximum that ballroom could hold. And I had a waiting list.
Oh, all right.
So goodness, when they tell me it can't be done, that to me is all the more impetus for going out and doing it. But if I couldn't write, if I couldn't tell that story, if I couldn't pull on the guy's heartstrings, it wouldn't have happened. So
wow,
there.
That is so amazing. You are fearless, okay?
You can do it too.
It's so good.
Everybody out there, you can do it too. You just have to know how to write.
Right. Wow, that
and
is
you can
so
learn.
Great.
It's easy.
Wow, that is really, man, that is so good. Writing has definitely advanced your career in so many ways. That is awesome. So out of all that you just mentioned, what is the most important that you think and why?
It's writing. It's writing. Now let me, and I'll show you why. And how did this whole journey come to be? When I was a major, that's when I really got back into being in a supervisory capacity. So as a major in the Pentagon, I think I had maybe 25 or 30 people in this division. And again, taking care of my folks, I would compete my people for things like the Congressional Fellowships and Officer of the Year and Enlisted of the Quarter, you know, those things. And I did not recognize at that point how important writing was. I mean, it hadn't all clicked for me yet. But what I got the reputation that whenever I submitted my people for these competitive awards, my guys were always winning. So my colleagues started calling me the major with the silver pen because my guys were always winning. So the next assignment took me to Hawaii, where I was a lieutenant colonel in charge of 480 super young men and women. When I arrived, it was the most losing unit in the state for professional quarterly and annual awards. And what that meant is really good careers were being harmed inadvertently because these people's bosses could not write winning packages. So Roberta, you could have been the absolute most brilliant captain doing amazing things. I could not ask more from you, you know, initiative and all that stuff that I just mentioned, but because your boss could not write a good award package for you, you kept losing.
Wow.
So I took 3 days, I hid in a beach cabin, I analyzed my writing, and that's where this whole idea for the book came to be. That's where I developed the concept of word sculpting. So I analyzed my writing, I turned it into a one-hour workshop, I taught my guys how to write, and we started sweeping the awards. That's where I learned that powerful writing changes lives.
Wow.
And then the other units on the island asked if I could come teach them too. When, of course I did. But what shocked me, and it still does to this day, is for the next 15 years, Wherever I went, wherever my assignments took me, word sculpting followed. So people were asking me to teach this, and I did for 15 years. And then more recently, I published articles in this magazine called the Military Officers of America magazine. It has a distribution of 350,000. The CEO and the president of this organization wrote me an incredible note. And he basically said, you know, you touched and you transformed the lives of countless military members because there's a ripple effect. I taught my 480 people, they learned, they pivoted, and they taught their people who taught their people who taught their people. So goodness knows what the impact has been. But that's what keeps me going, is the ability to teach people to change their lives, and then they can turn around and help other people change their lives too. But that's how this whole thing started.
That is so good. That is an amazing story, something to really think about. You know, I love the story how you said that somebody else's writing, because they couldn't write so well, was preventing them from moving forward. So, wow. Let's see. Let's kind of briefly discuss some tips for resumes. Do you have any advice on how to get that perfect resume together?
The first thing is you have to keep, I call it a job journal. Keep track of what you have accomplished as you accomplish it. Some organizations have what they call weekly activity reports where you submit what you've done. If they do not, keep that job journal. And it's really, really important to capture what you've done as you've done it. That's why I call it a journal, so that when the boss comes to you with that heavy, I'm sorry, we're talking resumes or performance reviews. I kind of lost the bubble. What was the question there?
Resumes, about tips for resumes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, see, and the input for resumes and the process for performance reviews are so very, very, very similar. And the job journal applies to both. So for the resume, keep track of what you've done as you've done it, and make sure that you highlight the impact of what happened as a result of what you did. So don't just say, I've got a really great example of that. Don't just say, your bullet says, developed a new marketing strategy. Okay, that sounds good, because when you've got developed, that's a good strong verb, marketing strategy, that's okay too, but it doesn't give the so what. So developed a marketing strategy, the division chief approved it, improved production over the next 6 months by 30%. Others are now emulating that strategy. So you see the difference between just developed a marketing strategy, but you keep telling the story. I liken it to a tennis swing, where you swing your arm and you hit the ball. That would be developed a marketing strategy, but it falls short unless you explain what happened as a result of that. So that's the first tip, is the job journal. Second, as you're annotating what you've done, make sure you explain the so what and use the details, because details help, they're like a mental yardstick for the reader to understand exactly what it is you're trying to say. The next thing, and this is where so many resumes fall short, it's on the verbs. Now I'm going to read to you, and I want you to listen. I'm a great believer in listening to the rhythm, and you can hear so many errors that you would not detect by just reading. So these are the opening bullets from one resume, and I want you to listen to hear how it does not flow. Responsible for, solely responsible for, provide coordination, responsible for, coordinates, contributor of, contributor in, provides, provided support, utilizes, responsible for. That's from one resume.
Wow.
Now, so that's how not to do it. And if you are the employer, you are the employer now, and you've just read that, it prompts you to wonder, what did you do? What were the results? You know, just because you're responsible for something does not mean you actually executed the responsibility, you know. Mm-hmm. So the verbs you want to use are hard-hitting, impactful, developed, implemented, brokered, partnered with. So pay very close attention to what verbs you use. And still staying on verbs, make sure that they're all in the same tense, because people very often mix up developed, past tense, and then they'll flip to the present tense, and then they'll flip to the past tense. So be very particular about maintaining the same verb tense.
Wow, that's good. I've definitely seen that on resumes before. Yeah.
So again, back with the job jar and the details. And let me give another example of the details. One, the beginning of that tennis swing I spoke about could be Mary conducted, reviewed many job applications, period. That's a semi-completed swing. But Mary conducted or reviewed many job applications, twice as many as her peers, four times as many as her peers in this period. You know, you just keep adding the details so that you have a complete understanding of how impressive it was. Was selected salesman of the year, period. Okay, incomplete story. Selected salesman of the year out of 350 competitors. Second time he's won this award. Okay, so don't start with an incomplete tennis swing. What else? Oh, subliminal words. There are certain words that will set you apart from the crowd. So be aware of them and use them to your advantage. Words such as chosen by, or selected for, or one of XX, like one of five named, you know, one of five, that connotes that you're a selected or a part of a select crowd. Another way of subliminal messages, if you're talking about a time frame in only X amount of time, that tells the reader that whatever is going to follow is special because it was done in only X amount of time. So in only are those good subliminal words there.
Wow, that's good. That's good to know that.
And bureaucratic blather. So I'm going to read a couple examples of bureaucratic blather because this stuff is so horrible. I can't just off the top of my head. Do not write with bureaucratic blather. Example, there was consensus among participants, all right? That would be participants agreed. We are currently in the process of evaluating. Listen, we are currently in the process of evaluating. Okay, right. Scratch that and just say, we are evaluating. We are undergoing organizational transformational change. I'm gonna say that again. We are undergoing organizational transformational change. Translated, that's we are reorganizing.
Right. Wow. Okay.
So when you're submitting input, and this has become ubiquitous. That means all over the place. So when you're submitting input on yourself, make sure that you've strategized it. You've identified what's the most important, and how do you determine what's most important? What's the impact? How many people benefited from what you did? What happened as a result of what you did? What would not have occurred if you hadn't done whatever it is that you did? So capture the important points and then make sure that you convey them in hard-hitting language that's not bureaucratic blather.
Wow, that is such great advice. That is so good. your words are everything. Wow. So you have kind of mentioned word sculpting. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, so I'm going to be a magician here. So poof, you are now a sculptor. Bet you didn't know that was going to happen. You're now a sculptor, and you're sitting in a sun-drenched studio in Paris, and you've got your little beret, and you've got your hammer and chisel. And in front of you, there's an 8-foot chunk of granite or marble. Marble's classier. Because you are a master sculptor, all right, that piece of marble is talking to you. You know the image that lies dormant inside that marble. You just know in your gut. So chisel, 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 da, 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 and there's the rubble on the floor, and there's your magnificent statue. That's sculpting. Word sculpting is the same thing. So once you've strategized your message, you know, we think in terms of a triangle, the first part of all this is strategizing the message. And then you come down to the fine part down here is the word sculpting. So you have your draft. Then I have 10 word sculpting tools. This is what I developed when I was sitting in that beach cabin trying to save my squadron. And sentence by sentence in your draft, you apply these word sculpting tools. And pretty soon you're going to have all that rubble on the floor, and you've gone from, say, one page of draft to one half page of hard hitting text. And you've got yourself an extra half page to keep making your case. And Roberta, before you and I wrap this up, don't let me forget to talk about that white triangle. I mean, the white rectangle, okay?
Oh, sure, okay.
Remember the white, okay, don't let me forget that.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to share three of the word sculpting tools. The first one, this is the most important one, is sentence by sentence, identify and discard the wasted words, the useless words like there is or there are. Provide with, you never, 100% of the time, you never have to say with. I provide you the opportunity. You provide me a chance to talk to your audience. I provide you examples of word sculpting tools. You never have to say with. So when you're into a space constrained environment, W-I-T-H with a space on each side, that's very, very valuable space that you're throwing away. In order to, you rarely have to say in order. You know, you and I are talking to share information with the audience, okay? So that's useless words, number one. Verbs, we talked about verbs just a little bit. So for verbs, I love this. Imagine a hard-boiled egg.
Okay,
you got it?
Got it, I got it.
Hard-boiled egg. All right, now make that. All right, now make that hard-boiled egg 6 feet tall. Big hard-boiled egg. All right, now focus on the yolk. The yolk is the verb. All of that white stuff surrounding it is what we, in business writing today, we suffocate the verb in this bureaucratic blather. And so this is what the second word sculpting tool teaches you to do. So for example, if I were to say, I have an aspiration to, I'm going to put you on the spot, Roberta. If I have an aspiration to, what's a simpler way of saying I have,
I have
a simpler way of saying I have an aspiration to, I
have aspirations or, yeah, I inspire.
Yep, the verb is I aspire. So instead of saying I have an aspiration to, yeah. I aspire. This will be sufficient? No, this will suffice. For the purpose of gaining is simply to gain. Give the ability is to enable. Conduct oversight is oversee. Provide warning is warn.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're going sentence by sentence, look at your verbs, every single verb, and see if, you know, get rid of all that white stuff and cut to the chase. Work collaboratively is collaborate. Okay.
That's good.
So that's the verbs example. The next and the last word sculpting tool here is that I can share just because of time is don't use words that hog space. Now there are a couple ways to not do that. First is don't write in the passive voice. A report will be delivered by our office to the corporate headquarters. Our office will deliver a report. So don't use a passive voice, use the active, that's one. Second is use words that, especially in a space constrained environment, use shorter words instead of long ones. For example, I love the sound. I love the sound of the word numerous. It just flows off the tongue, numerous. I love that. But if I'm in a space constrained situation where literally every space counts, I'll say many, not numerous. Okay.
That's good.
Now
yeah.
The third way of not hogging space is condensing words into one. So for the example, at the same time is simultaneous. Hmm. In an expeditious manner is expeditiously. In the aftermath of is after.
That's so good.
On at least one occasion is at least once, okay? So those are examples of useless words. Verbs are your friends, rely on them, and don't use words that hog space. So that's three of the 10 word sculpting tools. Now, I remembered my own white rectangle.
Okay.
The prevailing philosophy of what I teach is every author, regardless of whether you're fact or fiction, writing for the White House or writing a blog, every author is constrained by two things. You're constrained by the audience's time because everybody is busy, and you're often constrained by space, whether it's the above the fold on a web page or describe your grant in 25 words, or you all know very often we're literally, we are given X number of spaces and you have to tell your story there. So the author who can control time and space the best wins. And that's it. So that's good.
I think like sometimes our resumes, we feel like we have to use so many words for it to be impressive, but that's really not the key at all. Wow.
No. You turn off the reviewer that way. Speaking of which, because everybody is in such dire straits with COVID nowadays because of the employment market, I developed 3 free ebooks. They're on my webpage, www.write2influence.net, write2influence.net. On the first page there, I have the first free ebook is Write to Win a Standout Resume. The second is Write to Win a Performance Review. Second is Write to Win Grant Submissions. So everything that I've shared here and much more are on those 3 free ebooks. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to mention is I do a twice monthly e-newsletter that contains writing tips. So if your audience wants, I'm here to help people. So if your audience is interested, just send me an email at Carla, C-A-R-L-A, at write2influence.net. And I'll be glad to add them to that email distribution list. And as you might surmise, they're short, they're sweet, to the point, and they come out every 2 weeks approximately.
Oh, wow. That's great. Thank you so much. I'm sure our audience will appreciate that. This has been so good. Do you have like any closing comments for us?
The other things that I offer, I used to teach workshops, but since we're not doing workshops in person anymore, yeah. I do live webinars. So on my website, there's just a whole different way of different varieties of topics, ways I can slice this. So I can do webinars anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes. I do private coaching. I can tailor it to your particular needs based on whatever your subject matter expertise is. So there's all sorts of ways that you and I and your audience can continue to partner for me to be able to help them learn how to write powerfully to get those goals, you know, whether it's the job search or the input to the performance review or competitive opportunities or writing requests for the grants or marketing products, you know, anything where you have to persuade the audience that you are right, that they need to partner with you. That's what all this is all about.
Mm, that's great. So how can we help you?
If any of you all out there are kind enough to get the book, what you could help me is submit a review, just a one sentence or two sentence input to Amazon.com or Barnes and Nobles or wherever you have to pick it up. Unless you walk in an author's shoes, you have no idea how valuable those one or two sentence comments are. It helps me. It actually helps the book gain visibility to the greater audience out there. So by taking just a few minutes to input that review, helps the book become visible to other people. So you're actually helping others by putting that comment in for the book review. So that's, and then the other thing is if you could, if what I've said has helped you, spread word on your social media about Right to Influence and about my services, whether it's webinar or private coaching, but just spread the word that, you know, so I'm not out here like a voice alone in the wilderness here. Spread the word and write a book review. That's how you can help me.
That's
help
awesome.
Help me help others.
Right. Well, you've definitely helped us today. That is for sure. Thank you so much, Carla, for joining Zero to Strong today. It has been such an honor and a pleasure. All right. Well, thank you so much
thank
for you. Joining us at Zero to Strong. We will see you again very soon.